I have been asked some questions regarding my origin. I thought it was fairly plain as to where I originally came from. In fact, our sister Anne Armstrong not only was able to tell me that I came from Scotland, but she was actually able to identify the very city from which I came, namely Aberdeen. In the north of Scotland, there is quite a famous stretch of road high up in the hills, and after you've gone round many, many curves and passed through very beautiful, although rugged, scenery, there is a place where you finally arrive at called Rest and Be Thankful. I thought that might be a good theme for Thanksgiving Day, Rest and Be Thankful. Some years ago, our brother Bob Magioni will remember this, the Stewards Foundation had a conference right here in the park. And I remember that Don Taylor introduced me at that time as a man who came from down under and was going up yonder. At that same conference, the brother who was chairing one of the meetings wanted to assure all those who were speaking that they were quite important people. And he said, I don't know in the history of Park of the Palms when we have so many extinguished speakers. They did as you did. They laughed. And he said to me afterwards, what did I say wrong? I said, well, I think you meant distinguished, but you actually said extinguished. However, I said, don't worry, you were not put out. Shall we turn back again to Psalm 103 and start where we left off this morning? We're reading at verse 11. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pitieth his children, the word there really is compassion, has compassion upon his children, so the Lord has compassion upon them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon those who fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared, or established, his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of the Lord. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion, and let's all say it together, bless the Lord, O my soul. May the Lord indeed bless this portion of his work to us. Shall we again pause for prayer? Gracious Lord, we do thank thee for thy wonderful word. As we've read these verses again, how precious they are to us. And we pray that from thy word tonight, thou wilt teach us spiritual lessons that will prove to be valuable in our Christian life and experience. We commend this time now to thee with much thanksgiving in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. This morning, we were thinking particularly of the Lord himself, a divine person. We also saw the divine provision that has been made for us. And then we observed the divine protection of which we can be assured day by day. I often think when traveling on the highway how often we could be involved in something of a serious nature in the way of an accident, and how often we are protected and preserved by the hand of the Lord. It's so wonderful to know that He is constantly watching over His own. Now tonight we're going to be considering, first of all, divine pardon, then divine permanence, and finally we're going to see what the divine purpose is in all of this. In verse 11 we read, "For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him." Mercy that is measureless. This is describing to our finite minds what really is infinite. In the history of the nation of Israel, while they were in their journeys through the wilderness, and as they came close to the promised land, you remember that spies were sent out, and only two brought back a good or favorable report. The people were very troubled when they heard of the giants that were in the land. And so they decided that they would not ever think of entering into the land that God had given to them. Caleb tried to still the people, but there was no way in which they were going to cooperate with his recommendations. In fact, they were talking about getting a captain to take them back to the land of Egypt, an extraordinary situation that had developed. God was greatly grieved by the rebellious attitude of his people. And so Moses went to the Lord in prayer. And he prayed, "Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy." And the Lord said, "I have pardoned according to thy word." When we come to the New Testament in Ephesians chapter 2, you remember, we read concerning the richness of His mercy. During the days of Napoleon Bonaparte, one of the soldiers had committed an act of treason and was condemned to death. The time was drawing near when this soldier was going to be executed. That very day, in the morning, when Napoleon was coming along on his horse, a young lady flung herself in front of the oncoming horse, and Napoleon brought it to an immediate stop and looked down at the young lady and said, "Why have you done this?" She then pleaded for her father's life. Napoleon said, "Your father has committed two acts of treachery, and therefore he deserves to die. It would not be justice to spare his life." And the daughter of the condemned man said, "Sir, I'm not asking for justice. I am pleading for mercy." And her father was reprieved. How wonderful is the mercy of the Lord. In the 52nd Psalm, in verse 8, David says, "I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever." Mercy that is measureless. Then we read in verse 12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us." Forgiveness that is forever. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17, we read, "And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." Isn't it so wonderful, dear friends, that God, who has a perfect memory, has chosen to forget our sins forever. You know, sometimes we would say, well, someone has done us some wrong, I can forgive, but I really can't forget. How different the Lord is. He not only forgives, but praises His name. He forgets. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 7, we find there that we have a God who abundantly pardons. In Jeremiah chapter 33, we find that Jeremiah is in prison. And the Lord speaks to Jeremiah at that time, and He tells him that he has to only call upon Him, and the Lord will do great things, things that he had never imagined possible. And then he goes on to speak of the sins of the people of Israel. Then he adds these words, I will pardon all their iniquities. Who is a pardoning God like thee? Or who is grace so rich and free? In Nehemiah chapter 9 verse 17, we read that our God is ready to pardon. He will abundantly pardon. He will completely pardon. All our sins are gone forever. And praise His name, He will immediately pardon. The very moment that we call upon the Lord in faith, we are saved by His grace. In verses 13 and 14, we read of the compassion that is ceaseless. As a father has compassion upon his children, so the Lord has compassion upon them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. I'm always impressed as I think of the compassionate Lord in whom we have put our trust. Lamentations 3, verse 22 says, it is because of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Let's all say it together. Great is thy faithfulness. When the Lord Jesus Christ was here, we note again and again how compassionate He was to people in need. What has impressed me so much about the life and work of our Savior here is that He was always accessible, always approachable, always available to those who were in need of help. We think of how He looked out upon the multitude, a sheep not having a shepherd, and His heart was moved with compassion. That word there indicates a deep intensity of feeling. The Lord was greatly concerned because of the multitude who were going about aimlessly, without any hope whatever. That is why He said the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. A leper came to the Lord and said, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And we read the Lord had compassion upon that man in his distress and was healed. We note how compassionate He was when the children were brought to Him. The disciples were pushing them away. But the Lord said, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. My dear friends, we can go to the Lord at all times and know that his compassions never fail. He doesn't say to us, I've told you this over and over again. Why have you not listened to me already? He never says, I'm too busy to attend to this particular problem. The Lord is always available, always accessible, always approachable. And we can go to him with the utmost confidence, knowing that his compassions fail not. Isn't that wonderful? We know how often we fail, and how often our faith tends to fail. But he always is compassionate toward us. Infinite mercy, everlasting forgiveness, and unfailing compassion. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus our Lord. Then in verses 15 through 18, we note divine permanence. Because in verse 15 we read, as for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. Grass grows, but it withers. Flowers are fragrant, but they fade. And this is a picture of the frailty of humanity. Remember, the best of us are only people at the best. Some years ago, when I had a very serious illness, and when my future seemed to be exceedingly bleak, back there in Scotland, a lady wanted to encourage my wife. And this is what she said, and I'll say it as she said it, and then I'll translate, so don't worry. She said, a crackit bowly, I lists the langest. I wonder how many of you got that. I see Brother Jim is nodding his head, so he understood. Maybe one or two of you got it. That's nice when you can get accustomed to the language that we're going to speak in heaven. No one's been able to prove otherwise. The translation is that the cracked bowl always lasts the longest. Ladies, do you agree? That cup that's cracked, it seems to last much longer than some of your best china that can get more readily broken. So we are frail human beings. That's why in the 39th Psalm, David says, Lord, make me to know my end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. The frailty of humanity. Then in verse 16, it says, for the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. This would imply the brevity of life. The years pass so quickly. It's so difficult for us, as we look back over the past, to realize how many years it is since certain events took place. As for man, his days are like grass, the passing nature of life. It was also David who wrote in Psalm 18, verse 30, as for God, his way is perfect. And in the previous Psalm, Psalm 17, he also wrote, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness. As for man, life is very brief, very short. The old hymn says, life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf, be in time. As for God, says David, his way is perfect. And he could say, as for me, I will behold thy face and righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in thy light. In the 90th Psalm, Psalm written by Moses, Moses said, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Lines from a hymn keep coming back to me again and again as a servant of the Lord. And those words are that we should live with eternity's values in view. James 4 verse 14 asks the question, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little, and then vanisheth away. Live for self, you live in vain. Live for Christ, you live again. The frailty of humanity, the brevity of life, but praise God, the reality of eternity. Verse 17 says, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon those who fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. The Apostle John, in his first epistle, chapter 2, verse 17, says this, and the world passeth away, and the lust of it. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And beloved friends, if only we could grasp the implications of the fact that we're all heading for eternity, and that in that coming day, we'll be so glad that we devoted ourselves so much to the Lord and were so diligent in his wonderful service. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. As we anticipate the return of the Lord, recorded for us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, you remember we read, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And listen, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort or encourage one another with these words. Midst the darkness, storm and sorrow, one bright gleam I see. Well, I know the blessed morrow, Christ will come for me. He and I in that bright glory, one deep joy shall share. Mine to be forever with him, his that I am there. The reality of eternity. In Dundee, Scotland, outside the church building, in which that great man of God, Robert Murray McChain, ministered during a comparatively short life, because he died at the early age of 29 and seemed to accomplish so much for God in that short period of time. Outside that building, there's a flagstone with just one word inscribed on it. Eternity. Eternity. And I'm told again and again that people, as they passed along and looked down at that word, eternity, have been arrested and sometimes convicted of the fact that the day will come when they will pass from this world and go into the great beyond. Those who have heard the message of salvation and who are willing to respond to the claims of Jesus Christ can be assured of a glorious eternity with the Lord forever. And now as we come to the end of this psalm, in verses 19 through 22, we see a divine purpose. In this psalm, there is, first of all, in the early part of it, an individual response. Then as we move through the psalm, there is a national response in giving thanks to the Lord. And then as we come to the end, we have a universal response as all creation and even the angelic hosts give glory to the Lord. The Lord hath prepared or established his throne in heaven. First part of verse 19. The exaltation in his glory. In Psalm 110, verse 1, we read, "The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand." And when we turn over and come to the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, we read that our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is heir of all things, the one through whom the world was created, the one who sustains the world by his mighty power, the one who is the radiance or effulgence of the glory of God, the one who is the representation, the very image of God, the one who has cleansed us from all our sins, is the very one that is seated at the right hand of the Majesty on High. He fills the throne above. He fills it without wrong. The object of his Father's love, the theme of angels' song. He has been highly exalted, and this evening, beyond the ominous clouds in this troubled world, we behold an omnipotent Christ seated at the right hand of the throne of God, and he is there as our great high priest, our intercessor, our advocate with the Father. And so we can go to the Lord in the confidence that he is the one who understands human feelings as well as human failings. And because he has that heart of compassion, he ministers to us day by day. He is exalted in his glory. Then in verse 19 also, we read, his kingdom ruleth over all. We note here the revelation of his supremacy. In Luke 1, verse 32, I mentioned this morning the opening words of that verse, he shall be great, and we go on to read, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom, praise God, there shall be no end. Our Lord is now rejected, and by the world disowned, by the many still neglected, and by the few enthroned. But soon he'll come in glory. The hour is drawing nigh, for the crowning day is coming by and by. The revelation of his supremacy, everything is going to be made subject unto him, the one who sits upon the throne. And so as we come to the end of this psalm, in verse 20, we read, bless the Lord, ye his angels. Verse 21, bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Verse 22, bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And as we come to the end of the book of the Psalms, in Psalm number 150, and the last verse, this great book closes with these words, let everything that hath breath, praise the Lord. Let everything that hath breath, praise the Lord. And that is what indeed we do as we think of the acclamation of His Majesty. As we honor Him now as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But my dear friends, the day is fast approaching when His kingdom will be finally and forever established on this earth. And when we as His people shall enter in to the wonderful enjoyment of the blessings of that wonderful kingdom that will be established in that coming day. However, the next great event upon God's prophetic calendar is the imminent and personal return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There is not a single prophecy awaiting fulfillment now. There is not another event to take place before the Lord Himself shall come in glory to receive us into that place that He is preparing for those who have put their trust in Him. And so we acclaim His Majesty tonight. We honor Him because He is a wonderful Savior. Wonderful Savior. Wonderful friend. Wonderful life that never shall end. Wonderful place He has gone to prepare. Wonder of wonders. I shall be there. And I trust that everyone here tonight is sure of his or her final and eternal destiny. If you have any doubt in your mind tonight, if you're not sure where you will be in eternity, please do not leave this chapel tonight. Come and talk to one of us. And we'll be so happy to show you from the Word of God how you can know that all your sins have been forgiven. How you can know that here and now you can possess eternal life. And how you can be assured of a glorious future to be with Him in heaven forever. Our closing hymn is number 80. A great hymn and a great tune. Number 80. Sung to the Welsh tune Quam Ronda. Look ye saints, the sight is glorious. See the man of sorrows now. From the fight return victorious. Every knee to him shall bow. Crown him. Crown him, crown him. Crowns become the victor's brow. Hymn number 80. thanks again to the Lord. O Lord, how wonderful Thou art. We just bow before Thee, Lord Jesus, and indeed acclaim Thee, Lord of all. We do thank Thee for Thy wonderful salvation that has brought us into this close, personal and spiritual relationship with Thyself. How glad we are, Lord, that we belong to Thee, and that we have our dear brothers and sisters here, so that we are bound together in the bonds of Christian love, redeemed by the same precious blood, and bound for the same glorious destination. Lord, as we sung this hymn, I was just thinking, if here it is so blessed, what will it be up there? Surely we have anticipated that day when we shall all gather around the throne, and when we shall sing that wonderful song, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." Lord, wilt Thou speak to all of our hearts tonight? Should there be anyone here who is not sure of his or her final and eternal destiny, we pray that tonight, through Thy Word and by the Spirit of God, they may realize their need and come to know Jesus Christ as personal Savior and Lord. Now as we leave this service tonight, Lord, wilt Thou go with us? Wilt Thou cause that we may remember again Thy goodness, Thy greatness, and Thy grace to us. And so we pray that a dying Savior's love, and a living Savior's power, and a returning Savior's glory may be the experience of all here tonight because they've trusted in the blood that flowed on Calvary. In the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And may the Lord bless you all richly. Tomorrow we will be speaking on commitment to prayer and commitment to the Word of God. If you're free, we'll be glad to see you. Tomorrow, 9:30, you'll remember the service is here, and then in the evening, at 7:30, as will get already reported. The Lord be with you all.